It's time once again to catch up with RNIB's campaigns team. I'm joined by Costa Asprew, and we chat about some of the big projects which are being undertaken at the moment, all with the goal of improving the lives for blind and partially sighted people. Costa, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Alan. Great to be here again.
So we've got a couple of things to talk about today, and I'm pretty sure that when it comes to things like transport, public transport, there's always an issue around accessibility. Would that be a fair point?
That's right, completely. We regularly hear about the daily challenges to getting out and about and using public transport. We believe that blind and partially sighted people should be able to travel with ease and with confidence. And that's why we think that high quality passenger assistance, working audio announcements, stations that are easy to navigate, and accessible ways to book tickets in person, online and via the phone are key to a barrier-free journey. But we know that many blind and partially sighted people face unacceptable barriers when traveling by train. So we want to improve this by ensuring there are robust policies which are put into practice by train and station operators, regulators, and by the government. Now, the Office of Rail and Road, the ORR, have recently consulted on their guidance for train and station operators to make train travel more accessible for disabled people. We've submitted a response to this consultation using all the feedback you provided through our online survey and regional workshops. And we spoke to our policy and campaigns manager, Francesca Di Giorgio, to tell us more.
So the 2015 My Voice survey found that 40% of people said they were unable to make all their journeys they wanted to. And in 2017, we actually did a big survey as part of a government consultation on inclusive travel and found that 76% of people could not travel spontaneously as they wished to. And this consultation on disabled people's access to rail travel goes some way to addressing that. So what we wanted to do for this consultation was actually talk to blind and partially sighted people about their experiences and feedback to the Office of Road and Rail, some ideas about what we think need to be improved, but also what we support with their proposal to change these, because they've not been changed since 2009, so a really long time. And what we have done is make some really strong recommendations about what needs to change and also what we support. So the Office of Road and Rail have proposed to ensure that all train companies and station operators need to deliver 2 days worth of training to all of their staff, and that's including senior managers. And we think that's brilliant, because at the minute the training that staff have isn't mandatory that they have to do, it's just quite a small amount of training. And this training now is proposed to include visual impairment awareness training and also sighted guiding training. And we do find that when we've talked to people at our focus groups and via surveys, that the guiding that people do receive in train stations is often subpar. People might know how to guide someone, or people might drag people along by their hand, or they might find that if they're being guided, they're not being treated with dignity in a way that you would wish. So we're really delighted to hear that. But one recommendation we did make was on the fact that the training was due to be taking place just in classrooms, and we think you really can't experience what it's like to be a blind and partially sighted person travelling in a busy rail station unless you're in that busy rail station with a blind and partially sighted person or people to demonstrate what their experiences are. There's no amount of simulation in a classroom that can come anywhere near to that. And we did propose that all the training is carried out by paid professionals that have lived experience with disability and with sight loss themselves. And there was a couple of other areas where we did ask the Office of Road and Rail to go further on their proposals, because blind and partially sighted people wanted us to do that. So one of them was something called Turn Up and Go, and that means that you get to go to a train station like anyone else and say, I want to get on this train, please assist me. Now, this is something that has increased massively over the past 10 years, and we really support that. And what we wanted to do really was to get the policy that all train and station operators have to follow to say that they must provide Turn Up and Go, and it is part of their responsibilities under the Equality Act to do so. And we had some really strong opinions about that. We had someone saying that they actually wanted to just go and visit a sick relative, but the thought of having to book in advance was just adding to their stress. And we had another person say that it just makes them feel less of a person. They just want to be free to choose when and when they can travel and not have to ring or book in advance to do that. But one of the things that has been proposed, which is positive, which we are supporting, is that currently the amount of time that you need to give notice for booking rail travel, the absolute maximum any company can require, is 24 hours. And the Office of Road and Rail have actually said that is going to be reduced. And they've been given us three options for that. And one is 10 p.m. the night before travel, one is 6 hours before travel, and one is 2 hours before travel. And as previously discussed, we'd prefer that you didn't have to give any assistance notification for your assistance. But if you did, obviously, the 2 hours before travel is much preferred. I just wanted to say a huge thank you to all the campaigners that have been involved and all the people that came to our focus groups. They really did give us a rich experience sharing so freely about what can be quite stressful. So things like not having tactile at the edge of platforms is really scary for people because you don't know if you're going to get to the edge of a platform, and people have fallen down and hurt themselves, and people sharing those experiences with us, as well as when they found it an absolute joy to travel by train. It's been my absolute pleasure to hear those and make sure that I do put in a substantial response that'll hopefully progress blind and partially people's rights to travel independently and in confidence by train.
It sounds like there's been some real progress, Costa. And again, you know, that's down to people getting in touch with yourselves and getting involved in these campaigns.
That's right. We certainly hope that it will be a good outcome. And people being involved in the process has been really important. So we now have Brian, our volunteer campaigner, to talk about his role in campaigning for accessible transport.
Indeed we do have Brian. Thank you very much for joining us. So tell me a bit about yourself, Brian, and why you got involved in campaigning.
I'm what's known as a volunteer campaign coordinator for the RNIB, and I work locally in West Sussex, mainly based in the Worthing area. I'm blind, registered blind myself, have been since birth, but I have worked all my life, and unfortunately a couple of years ago was diagnosed with a brain tumour which took away some hearing. So the work came to an end, so I now volunteer. And obviously, being blind, I'm very passionate about the issues that affect people like myself.
So being that public transport, you know, affects everyone locally, nationally, it's probably an obvious one for you to get involved in.
Public transport is absolutely vital for us to lead full independent lives. So whenever I go, wherever I go, whichever charities I talk to, whoever I talk to are blind or visually impaired, public transport issues are always pretty much top of the list. And as Costa has mentioned earlier, audio announcements are always top of the list because there are still bus companies and there are still rail companies that don't do this. You know, when we can't see the signs and we can't read the boards, we need those audio announcements to be spot on because we absolutely rely on them to travel around.
And also the assistance that rail companies and stations provide as well. You can have all the technology there, but sometimes you need that sort of human part to help you get to the platforms, to the right train and connections and so on.
Yeah, absolutely, Alan. And what I've learned really through this process of the consultation with the ORR, the people who offer the service, the people on the ground or on the front line, if you like, are brilliant. And they always do everything they possibly can. I think where it falls down is the processes and the structures that these corporate companies and the rail operators in particular, is what we're talking about, have in place. Sometimes it feels like it's a little bit of lip service is paid to this. We have to do it, so we'll do it, but we won't do it very well.
Francesca was quite confident about some of the points that the ORR has taken up. Do you share that confidence and think the changes will be positive? Obviously, there's more that can be done here.
One of the main reasons I volunteer for the RNIB is because we are very strong at campaigning. We're very strong at getting things changed. So if I'm honest, if the RNIB can't get it changed, it's pretty much not going to happen. And I think there does need to be some sort of legislative process put in place to ensure that these rail operators do provide safe passage, if you like, for disabled people on the rail network.
As you said, Brian, you know, some good points that have been discussed that are going to be worked on, but we have to keep that pressure up. And that's the same for all the campaigns, isn't it, Costi? You want more people to get involved. And, well, a campaign, I suppose we could say this is, but you're looking for people to get involved in a video.
We are indeed. An ongoing issue is employment for those people of working age. And evidence does show that there has been a significant decrease in the proportion of registered blind and partially sighted people of working age in any form of employment over the last decade. We want to change that and help improve recruitment or the retention of employment. So we're creating a short film designed to show employers the diversity of skills blind and partially sighted people have and the range of roles undertaken in the workplace. We want the film to have as many people as possible saying who they are and what they do for work.
Yeah, let's encourage people to get involved in that. Good for the employers to actually see people doing perhaps jobs they think a blind person or a partially sighted person can't do. We'll give you the details in just a moment. But, you know, a couple of big topics here. We're looking at employment. We're looking at public transport. You know, we always say, we can't probably say enough, that it's the involvement of blind and partially sighted people getting involved in these campaigns that can really make a difference. So you said so yourself, Brian, you're a volunteer campaigns coordinator. I mean, what would you say to people, you know, from your point of view, why should they get involved?
Personally, I find it incredibly rewarding that every minute and every hour that I spend on campaigning, I know that it will be benefiting and helping and supporting people like myself with sight loss. I think the second point is I found myself moaning and complaining about things that were affecting my day-to-day life, like public transport services. And then I thought, I'm not doing anything about it. And when you are blind or visually impaired and you go and talk to these people and they get to talk to people like myself and other people around who volunteer as well, it's incredibly powerful for them to meet us face to face and hear our stories. So if you are thinking about it, then my plea would be, do it, get involved. The RNIB are an amazing charity to volunteer for. They're incredibly supportive. And actually, you can get things done and you can get things changed.
If that's not motivated people, Brian, I don't know what will. Costa, you know, we are looking for people to get involved in campaigns and indeed the employment video as well. So what are the details? How do they do that? How do they get more information?
Well, for anyone interested in participating in our film on employment or in any of our campaigns, please drop us an email at campaigns@rnib.org.uk or give us a call on our campaigns hotline on 0207 391 2123. We also have some great resources to help people on many of our campaigns, and we can put you in touch with your local regional campaigns officer. And you can find out more by visiting the campaign section of the RNIB website at rnib.org.uk/campaigns.
And yes, do get involved. But for the moment, Brian, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Alan.
And Costa, we'll catch up again next month for more from RNIB's campaigns team. But thank you also for speaking on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks very much, Alan.